And really, I want to ask you to do an open meditation. And I'm going to ask you to look out to the mountains. And as you look, I want you to open your heart even further to connect with the energy of the mountains. We have a pregnant woman in front. What is this pregnancy filled with? What is this expectancy carrying? What is she going to birth on the planet? Are we going to be a part of that birthing? Allow your heart to connect with that energy. Allow yourself to be part of that birthing process. Because the birthing process is the new energy coming onto the grids. And that new energy on the grids is allowing you to connect with Gaia in a deeper, more profound way. It is why the ancestors and elders would say it's going to rain in 2 days, or the fish are going to be in a certain bay. They had communication. It was innate ability. So let us look on these mountains and ask for that to be taken to the next level, to be deeper, that we can understand Mother Earth and that we can hear her and that we can send her our infinite love and gratitude. Everything we have in life is because she has provided it for us. And so we give infinite thanks for this deep, deep connection that communicates both ways.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. My partner steps away yet again. He does not know what follows. And what follows is something that I want to share with you. It doesn't have the kind of profundity perhaps some other channels have, but there's information, perhaps even revelation, about Gaia. We started talking about Gaia in the former channel. This group looks upon a vista that is unique on the planet. There aren't that many places where in a high level you can look out and see certain mountains sticking up the way they do, in groups the way they are, in the majesty of the mist that you see here. And there are some of you already have discovered that all you want to do is stare at them, like they have something to say, and you keep waiting for what they might. There are those of you who are staring at them and they are saying something. It depends upon that which is your perception of what it means to have this kind of a vista. And as you look upon this, you might be aware that you're not the first. Can you imagine those who saw this vista that you look at right now, for the first time? Can you imagine in that time with the planet in communication what those mountains would have said? Is it possible that they even named themselves? Is it possible that they told a story? And the answer is yes, every one of them. My partner was going to tell you about Makua, and I will. It's a story that has not been told, not this way, of the pure Hawaiian lineage of the Lemurian. Makua was a master, a modern man who'd been in war and yet a shaman. This shaman realized that his bloodline was diminishing. He also realized that the verbal pass down of the history of the stories of the lineage was limited. In that there would come a time when there was no one who would listen. There was no young warrior or young indigenous or young anything that would be of the bloodline that they could pass it on to, where they could pass it on, and they could pass it on as it had been done for generations. It was going away. And that is when he found my partner. Now, although my partner will admit this, what he had found was crayon. For this gentleman, for 3 years, sat and listened to crayon in meetings before he would ever come up to my partner and introduce himself. For he wanted to hear what crayon had to say about their land. And then it happened that he took my partner out to the volcano's edge on the island that he lived in, which is called the Big Island, the one that is active with the energy of Pele. And he said to my partner, "This is the lookout where the tourists go, but I want to take you to the one where you should be in." And he walked over to a specific area and he said, "This is the male area. This is where you should stand to look out." And he pointed to the edge and he said, "This is where the Lemurian canoes were buried." My partner will always remember that phrase, and it was a metaphor that said, "They landed here." My partner carries this in his heart as he thinks about this master, his mentor. And then my partner, in all of his ignorance, said to Makua, "Makua, why do the men have to stand on this cliff and the women have to stand on another? What about the equality? Why cannot they stand together in one place?" His American bias was showing. And as though my partner were a child, Makua said to him, as simply as he could, "Because this is the male section of the land. It has nothing to do with your gender." The male section of the land. And my partner then asked him, "You mean that Gaia, Earth, has gender?" And what Makua said, he said, "No, it has something similar. It has balance." And that then transmits to gender for you. A place for the men to stand, a place for the women to stand. As above, as below, the yin, the yang. There is balance in nature. There's light, there is dark. As there is balance for you in gender. My partner didn't fully understand. He does now. And that is why we say what we are saying to you. I want you to look upon these rocks and these mountains, the geography, and I want you to compare it for a moment to another place that is similar. In the northern hemisphere, in the deserts, there is a place called Monument Valley. And it is under the ownership of the indigenous there, called the Navajo. And when you ask about the monuments that are the rocks, much like you see here, the small mountains like you see here that jut up out of the earth spectacularly, you'll get a story about what the name of them is. And that story will be something current, and the story will have names that you know are not indigenous names at all. They're current names, they're tourist names. But then when you start to ask the Navajo, a story emerges. And it goes like this. What are the names? And the Navajo will give you names in their language of what those outcroppings are. And you will say, "Well, where did you get the names?" And they will look at you as a tourist, like perhaps you'll understand, perhaps you won't. When they look you in the eye and they say, the mountains named themselves. And then you start understanding the names because they mean other things. There is a story about every single one. And some of the stories seem to be spectacular in their power, in their fertility, in their beauty, and others seem dark. There's one where you'll see the fingers coming up out of the ground. And you'll find out that this is a place you don't want to go. This is a place that is dark. And then there's another place that you'll find is where you would like to go. A place that represents light. And you say to the Navajo, they named themselves. They have their own stories. They will say they were given to us all by each mountain. Every story. And then they will tell you the metaphors, the stories of their gods, the stories of their elders and their ancestors imbued in the various places. And you start to realize that it wasn't the Navajo ancestors or that which is Gaia, but a meld between them. And then you start to understand that there is some kind of balance. There'll be a male, there'll be a female. There'll be a light, there'll be a dark. And as you start to study those that are left, and you start to add them up, and you start to do the mathematics, you will find out there's actually a pair. A pair. There'll be a positive and a negative, and a positive and a negative, and then you'll start to understand and realize, as above, so below, you'll start to realize large to small, it almost reflects the atom itself. With the polarities, the yin, the yang, the plus, the minus, the light and the dark. My partner asked a Navajo. He said, what is happening with the light and the dark here? You have in the valley the names, the stories, the monuments. Some are light, some are dark. What is happening here? And my partner expected that the Navajo would tell a story about darkness coming over. And the Navajo said, it's about balance. The balance of nature is how we live our lives. He says the nature whispers to us about the way to live. Darkness will always be on the planet, and light will also be there. And if we live in the balance for ourselves and for the land, then we will survive. And then our lineage will go forward. Our Akash will go forward. Our children will understand at some level balance. And now we come here. You're looking at balance. For if you were to analyze and count, if you were to hear the stories, you'd find out the same things. This valley is in balance. Can you feel it? And it speaks to you and says, you're next because you have not been in balance. Humanity has been out of balance for eons. Humanity has filled with itself so much that it perpetuates its own stories, its own gods, its own beliefs, and has left the master teacher out of the equation. And the master teacher sits in front of you for you to look at and gaze at. It's about bringing light and dark into a balance that makes sense. On this planet, you have been out of balance so long, you don't even realize that the very idea of human nature is a negative connotation. You live in darkness. Some of you have darkness around you, and you actually will see it without seeing the light, because you're so used to it. You're so used to it being in charge, being afraid of it, running from it. For some of you, it rules what you do, whether you turn left or whether you turn right. Look out. Feel the serenity And know that this balance that you see, that you feel, that you want to hear from each one of these mountains, is it speaking to you saying, this is your future? That when you start to balance the dark and the light, there is no fear of the dark. There is only balance. When you start to measure the dark and the light, you realize that you are light and you have inside you both the yin and the yang. You have the choice of the balance. And a balanced human being is one who will live longer. A balanced human being will not be in distress or in fear any more than the rocks you see in front of you are in distress or in fear. The master teacher is here in front of you as an echo, as a mirror that says, return to this and humanity will survive. You've come to the right place today to gaze at things that you needed to see. The very venue that you sit in was not known until last week. This is no accident that before you and out the windows, there is a lesson to be learned, and I can tell you about it. Understand that there is purpose here and love and compassion and balance, and understand that this planet is not doomed as long as you will return to the beautiful family of Gaia. Let this be the lesson for this entire day. And so it is.